to another edition of the Nerd Watch Podcast. I, of course, am G Money, and let me tell you something. I am really excited to be here today because, yes, ladies and gentlemen, everyone knows that I am a huge wrestling fan and admirer of the work that they do, and we are here today to speak with the legend, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, who's in the house tonight, or today, I should say. It's been a long night. We watched the Spider-Man premiere, and we are just really running on fumes. But of course, before I introduce Hacksaw, I've got my wrestling admirers as well. Kai is in the house tonight. He is the producer of the show, and of course, Swan of Uhane Comics is here as well. And of course, he is a big admirer of wrestling as well. Now, let me introduce the man who we are all here for this morning, ladies and gentlemen. Please put your hands together for the Hall of Famer. It is Hacksaw Jim Duggan. He's in the house tonight. Mr. Jim Duggan, how are you, sir?
Well, G-Money, guys, thanks very much for having me. But you know the first thing Hacksaw Jim Duggan has to do is give a big ho! I tell you, it gets the air in the lungs, gets the blood flowing.
Absolutely.
Gets old Hacksaw ready to go. You know, I tell folks, I think everybody should start off the morning with a good ho.
You know,
knock it off, G-Money. Knock it off, brother. It's a family show.
I was right there with you.
I've been hoeing for many years. But you really got to be careful hoeing in New York, I'll tell you.
Hoeing has brought you great success. Great success.
Well, Flair, you know, I love Rick. Rick's always going, woo! You know, woo! And I'm like, Rick, are your trunks too tight or what? What the hell? Woo! It's more like a ho! You know.
Well, Hacksaw. It's an absolute pleasure to have you in Maui, man. Number one. How are you enjoying your time while you're here?
Great. Yeah, of course, over here with Maui Comics, they put us up at a great hotel. Been down at the beach, got a rental car, been around the island a little bit.
Good.
And actually, you know, fellas, I've got my wife with me. We came here 30 years ago on our honeymoon. We came to Maui. Yeah. 30 years ago, old Embassy Suites. Alika was saying it's still there, but not the Embassy anymore. But the hotel's still there. So
yeah.
30 years, we just had our anniversary in July. You know, and that's something we'll talk about later on in the show is about wrestling. Well, we'll talk about it now.
And we're getting a huge event about what you're doing at Maui Comics on July 4th, even.
Yeah, are you kidding? Yeah, it's a great time. You know, and this is an opportunity for a guy like me that's been in the business for so many years to tell the folks, hey, thank you for all the years of support. Yeah. You know, it's actually humbling. You're doing an autograph session like this. I just did one in Salt Lake City, and I see this big, real tough, rough guy in line, you know, and he's working his way up through the line. I'm like checking on security. You know? Finally, the guy gets up, he grabs my hand, he squeezes my hand, he pushes the grippers on me, he goes, Hacksaw Duggan, Hacksaw. Me and my dad, we're big fans. We watch, and you get teary-eyed. I tell you, it's humbling, fellas. A lady will come up with a picture of her mom and hug on me, and me and my mommy, we watched you on television. It's just that generation, the WWF, the golden age of wrestling. Hulk Hogan, Andre the Giant.
Yeah.
You can still name 10 guys, right?
I mean, right.
Bret Hart.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it seems like you were at the forefront of that, but, you know, we're going to talk a little about your career, and I kind of want to start at the beginning.
Sure, okay.
Of course, for those people that may not know, Jim Duggan was not necessarily destined to be a wrestler because he was playing college ball at SMU, right?
Yeah, my whole deal when I was a young guy was football. I was a I wanted to play pro football. And, of course, this was growing up, and I was in high school in the early 70s. And I had a great high school career. I won the New York State High School Wrestling Champion. I was the amateur state champion, undefeated. My high school shot put record from 1973 still stands today.
I'm like, really?
Oh. Like, get those kids some Cheerios up there at Glenn's Wall. I mean, come on. 1973. And football was my main sport. So I was highly recruited by Ohio State with Woody Hayes, Penn State with Joe Paterno. But I went down to Texas and played my college football for Southern Methodist, where I met Fritz Von Erich on a fluke.
Right.
And he's like, you should try wrestling. And I'm like, oh, I've been going to play in the NFL for 10 years. I'm not going to do that wrestling stuff.
Wow.
And I went off to the Falcons in 77. Yeah. I was with the Atlanta Falcons. I had two knee surgeries. I went up to Canada, played a little bit with the Toronto Argonauts.
Right.
78. So I had no real future. And I was an offensive guard, dime a dozen, you know. So I gave Fritz a call and I said, I might want to try that wrestling stuff.
Where you were wrestling in the Sportatorium, weren't you?
I broke into the Sportatorium. Gino Hernandez was really instrumental. I stayed with Gino as a young guy. You know, he was an established star. Gorgeous Gino Hernandez.
Yes.
And the guy was gorgeous. It was back in the disco days, you know, and had the gold chains and the razor. So cool. And he just had girls all over. Of course, I'm Big Jim Duggan. Hi. My name's Jim.
Now, Gino, what's interesting about Gino Hernandez is that he was Texas's, you could call him Texas's Ric Flair at that time. He was a big deal. He was wearing the suits and the whole nine, wasn't he? That was his gimmick.
Gino lived, as Rick does, DiBiase, Terry Taylor, some guys are the, you know, they're right off the cover of GQ magazine.
Yeah.
You know, me and Piper, we're at some strip joint.
That's not fair, though, because you were a handsome young man when we see pictures of you with no beard and things like that. Matter of fact, when you broke into WWE, you were Big Jim Duggan, weren't you?
I broke in as Big Jim Duggan down at the Sportatorium. Yeah. And, of course, a young guy had red and black trunks. Gary Hart gave me my first pair of trunks.
Wow.
And I had a young guy said, I'm going to dress this up a little bit. So I put a long gold bathrobe on, you know, so I'm wearing this long gold bath. So now we'll go up to the WWWF. My dad was chief of police in upstate New York. He knew Vince Sr. Boom, I got a break. Went up there, and I'm wrestling. So finally, Vince Sr. and Arnie Skolan call me in the office, and they're like, kid, you might have a future, but come up with something better than Big Jim and get rid of that gold bathrobe.
was John Studd coming up too at that time? Because
no, John was. I was doing that. I just posted a picture of me and Hogan. I was doing a job for Hogan as Big Jim Duggan with short hair and clean shaven.
Wow.
Oh, I did the squash job. My first big gimmick was trying to get out of the Cobra Clutch, you know, Sarge.
Right.
So they called me and they're like, we're going to send you out to learn the business. And I'm a young guy. I'm like, well, where the hell are you going to send me? They're like, we're going to send you to Hawaii.
That sounds awful.
I'm like, are you kidding me? A young guy, you know, hardly been to anywhere. So they fly me out here. I work for High Chief Peter Mivie.
Yeah.
Stayed at the Alamoana, Chateau Bleu was the place. And it was me, Haku. There's four or five guys all jammed in one room. You know, we had a suitcase was our coffee table. But we're all a bunch of young guys. You know, it was great. Like I said, Haku, Ming, Tamatanga, one of my best friends. I've known him for 35 years, almost 40 probably. But because you got real tight, you know, my mom, God bless her, would send us a care package of crackers and peanut butter, you know, making $40 a week. You know?
Right.
So I tried to change my gimmick up again, so I wore a mask. And I wrestled as a convict.
Right, yeah, that's right. You were the convict.
I was a convict here in Hawaii, you know. Yeah. There's some wrestling fans like, come on.
Right.
And I'm wrestling, you know, tough, rough men, and here's this young baby-faced kid. Put a mask on. Yeah. But it worked out great because, you know, everybody loved the High Chief. So all the top WWF talent would go over to Japan.
Right.
On the way back, they'd stop and work in Hawaii, do a couple shows for the High Chief. And, you know, so I worked with Andre as the convict, you know.
Yeah, because High Chief Peter Mivie was running the territory
Yeah, it was his territory.
It was his territory, and he was doing a bang-up job. I mean, he was running the territory even when I was a kid, and I was watching those shows with you and Lars Anderson and the like. So those are big memories for me for wrestling. And what's interesting is that you wrestling Andre. Yeah. Now, everybody, and listen, it's one of these most fascinating things any good interviewer's got to ask. What is it like wrestling the eighth wonder of the world?
Well, I tell you, I tell folks, I could have killed Andre the Giant.
What?
He could have choked on my bones. No, Andre, well, actually it worked out great because I worked as Andre as a young kid, as a convict here
right.
in Hawaii.
Right, of know? Course.
And, of course, Andre was Andre the Giant. He was an established Andre. But I worked well with him because Andre liked guys that – if you were afraid of him, he hated that.
Right.
And some guys he just didn't like. He liked me because I'd fight him back or at least try to.
Right.
And so
he'd lay into guys that were scared of him, wouldn't he?
Yeah, he chased Bam Bam Bigelow out of the room. He was dangerous. I mean, you know, 7'2", 500 pounds.
Oh, yeah.
You could put an egg through his ring. You know, his thumb would cover a deck of cards. You know, I joke. I get on the airplane. I'd be next to a businessman. The guy go, you know, I had a rough day at the office. I'd be like, brother. I just got done with a giant. Man. He still had villagers in his teeth. You know.
So you pick? Did you pick up a lot of your future skills doing the territory here in Hawaii? Or?
No, I didn't learn much in Hawaii. Of course, we weren't working, and I was still coming out of a football background. It was a huge transformation. I didn't understand all the top wrestlers. You think of the top guys: Jake the Snake Roberts, Ted DiBiase, Curt Hennig. Those guys, second generation guys.
Right.
They grew up in the business. They're 14 years old. They're in the ring, you know.
Right.
I'm playing football forever, you know. So when I started wrestling, you know, they're like, oh, kid, this guy's going to beat you in 8 minutes. I'm like, well, I can beat him. I know I can beat him. Yeah. So it was hard, you know. I get beat 1, 2, 3, I jump right up like,
right.
And of course, the guys I'm wrestling are going, oh, Jesus, you know.
So when did you get the call back to come back to the East Coast, to New York?
Well, I stayed here for quite a while, and we'll jump back because later, way back in the WWF and wrestling Andre as a main event guy. The story will come back from when I wrestled him as a kid.
Right.
But anyway, so I left Hawaii and I went back to Georgia Championship Wrestling.
You're right.
Mm-hmm. I went back to Big Jim Duggan. That didn't last too long.
Right.
I left that territory. I went to Pensacola, where I was Wild Man Duggan.
Right.
I grew my beard real bushy. I wore a fur with chains on it, you know. And I used to drop down. I'd do the bear crawl to the beach, or to the beach. I wish we were to the beach. Here in Hawaii, I got the beach in my mind. On the way to the ring, you know. And, of course, that's the worst thing you can do with wrestling fans because you're at foot level.
Right.
People think it. But anyway, so that was a good little territory. But then I got my break to go to San Antonio. Buck Robley called me and said, hey, we need somebody to work with Bruiser Brody in San Antonio.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that's right. Oh.
Yeah. And I was I was living in Pensacola Beach, which is probably the nicest beach in continental U.S. I had a hot little stripper, Gail Conway, as my girlfriend. You know, I mean, I had a $500 a week guarantee. I was like, but the promoter calls me, says, we need somebody to work with Brody. I'm like, well, things are going pretty good here.
Well, they said with Brody, it was one of those things where when he put his hair up, it seemed like a very normal guy. But once he put that hair down and he became Bruiser Brody, it was a totally different ball game with him.
Yeah, because I had met Brody in Georgia.
Right.
And I got along with Brody okay because he was a jock too.
Right. Of course. He played football.
He was a football player.
Yeah.
And so, like I said, I told the promoter, no, I'm going to stay in Pensacola. Brody called me.
Oh, did he?
He said, Duggan, get your ass out here. So I went out to San Antonio, and that's where I developed the Hacksaw character.
Right. Now, first of all, before I get into how you got the Hacksaw moniker, when did you start realizing that you were really starting to get into the business? When did you be like, hey, I'm hooking into this.
Yeah,
really
that was
good.
When I started to become Hacksaw.
That's when?
It was pretty much. I was a young guy. I was partying. It was a whole new deal, you know. You know, I never had was very popular with women. All of a sudden, wrestling, and back in the day,
right,
you had a lot of women, you know, a lot of drugs, a lot of booze.
Sure.
God, I miss the old days.
Fair enough. So now, where did I mean, for those that are listening, where did that Hacksaw come from? When did that click? Like with Stone Cold, he said that his wife just said, "Hey, listen, your tea's getting Stone Cold." Yeah. Oh man. So how did that come about?
Well, no, you know, I tell folks because a lot of guys ask me, you know, what want to be in wrestling and do you have any advice and stuff. And your best character is just an extension of your own personality, you know.
Right.
You know, I joke. I said, there's no way I was going to be Handsome Jimmy Duggan.
Oh.
You got to find the right. And Hacksaw, he's in here with me. You know, back when I was drinking whiskey, he'd get me in more damn trouble. You know? So Hacksaw is just an extension of Macho Man.
Right.
You know,
right.
So So, and but that's one thing a lot of folks don't realize about wrestling is how competitive it is.
Of course.
Yes.
You know, I tell folks, if they see wrestling, they go, oh, I'm going to be a wrestler.
Right.
I said, well, you know, look at it as a business. I say, you know, I tell folks there's probably 1,500 NFL football players playing this year.
Right.
There's 500 NBA basketball players.
Right. Mm-hmm.
There's 100 WWE wrestlers.
Right.
It's a television show. Mm-hmm. It's more competitive than sports. But people don't realize it. They're like, you know, and it's just not kids from America. You got kids from Japan, Australia,
all
over. Everybody's a very competitive job.
So you're fighting for your spot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's only 100 spots. And for you to get one of those spots, you got to take somebody's job away from them.
Right.
He's holding on his tight. It's a, and I love, well, you guys are all good friends, aren't you? I'm like, oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, right.
We all compete for the same money. Yeah.
Right, right.
It's a very competitive business.
For sure, for sure. But like you said, though, you're right. It's super, supremely competitive, but it's also kind of a brotherhood back there. You guys got to stick together.
Once you get in, and of course, my generation was it was closed completely. That's why Fritz opened up professional wrestling to me.
Mm-hmm.
That was a huge gift. Unless you were a second generation guy, you never got in.
Right. But, when did, how tough was it not to break kayfabe back in those days?
Well, you couldn't. Of course, I had the worst kayfabe break it ever.
Right.
You know, I mean, jump right to it, brother. Where's this 2x4 at, brother? I thought you had this on film. What the hell?
Yeah, because back then, I mean, I hear some crazy stories from all these guys that I admire so much about how they're getting chased out of towns, and when they're the heels, they can't stay in town too long, and people, when they find them, they're just about to kill them. Like, geez.
Well, you know, back then, though, that's the whole deal with the 2x4. You know, back in San Antonio was a whole different. It was before sports entertainment.
Right.
You think it's fake? Sign the waiver. You come up in the ring.
Right.
We'll show you. So you had to fight every local tough guy.
Right.
I mean, and if you lost a bar fight, Bill Watts would fire you. I mean, there were
really. Whoa. That's a big revelation. Wow.
No, that's pretty well mid South territory. Yeah, if you lost a bar fight,
Bill Watts, man, legendary.
And back then, you know, you get in a bar fight, you wouldn't get sued, you wouldn't get arrested. You know, I mean, it was a different era.
Right. Of course.
But so it was a snake pit of tough guys. But so it was a closed group, and that's why you didn't have a lot of inner conflict, because it was like mutually assured destruction. There was no walks in the park in that dressing room. Everybody could kind of take care of themselves.
Which is fantastic. Now, when you finally make your way back.
Oh, excuse me.
Yes, go ahead.
I wanted, because I was going to the whole 2x4.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, do that.
So, you know, just getting back and forth from the ring was dangerous.
Of course.
People spit on you and punch you and kick you. So I was like in Amarillo, Texas, West Texas, you know, and sitting back in the dressing room all covered with loogies and bruises, you know, reevaluating my career choice, you know. And I'm sitting, and Brody comes in. He looks at me, goes, Doug, and he says, if you carry something to the ring, he says, carry something you can use. Forget those feathered boas and sequin robes. And I looked down. I said, well, here's a 2x4.
Right.
And I came out waving that 2x4. It was like parting the Red Sea. Then people scattered. I got to the ring. I'm like, this is great. You know?
Coming from Brody, who was carrying a chain around the ring.
Brody was carrying a chain.
That's right.
Right.
Smart.
And that was the evolution. That's where the 2x4 actually came from. And I started carrying a 2x4 from then on. And,
wow.
And it was great, you know, because I travel with Jake a lot, and I'd walk into the arena. I said, can somebody find me a 2x4 and get him a 10-foot python?
Yeah. You're carrying a 2x4. He's carrying like a 150-pound snake to the ring.
Which is fun until it's like 2, 3 in the morning. You got a long walk in the hotel room. And you can't.
That's right. Who knew that that 2x4 was going to be a sign of Americana and independence? I mean, when did that's pretty crazy, right?
It's crazy. When people say, well, you're Hacksaw Duggan, but you carry a 2x4.
Right.
Should you be 2x4 Duggan? Wrestling, it doesn't have to make sense.
It doesn't have to make any sense whatsoever.
It just works, right?
You've had some, of course, went back to the WWF at the time, and you literally took, you became this huge babyface. I mean, Hacksaw went over big time. By the way, before we get to that, I will say this. One of my favorite things that I remember, I was a fan of the Hollywood Blondes and Stunning Steve Austin and Brian Pillman. I love when in WCW you come out because Steve Austin doesn't want to wrestle anybody for his title, and you and you beat him in like 60 seconds flat.
That was one of my favorite
matches. Yeah. I think it's hilarious.
I think I beat him so bad he had to shave his head and change his name.
That's right.
He was trying to run out of the ring.
Yeah, beat the hair off the boy's head. I should get a kickback on the Stone Cold player. He'd still be running around with long blonde hair.
You should. You definitely should. So, you of course
one of the best ever. I'll put Austin over though.
Oh yeah, Austin. Austin is absolutely one of the best ever. When but you, sir.
I had a good run. Yeah, I joke, you know, but people like, well, you were never world champion. I'm like, well. We're not all lead singers in the band.
Right, right.
I'm back there playing the drums for 40 years. It's been a great spot for me. And it's been a great business, you know. So many folks see the movie The Wrestler.
Right.
They hear about some of the trouble of Scott Hall or one of my best friends, Jake Roberts, has had.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's been a great business. You know, I've been with my wife. We're celebrating our 30th anniversary, 35 years together.
Congratulations.
And, I've never had to go to rehab for booze or drugs.
Good for you.
I did a lot of both. I ain't going to say that.
You know? Gotcha.
It was the 80s. What the hell, you know? No felony arrest.
Good.
Couple misdemeanors, but again, it was the 80s.
You take with the good with the bad. That's fine.
I put two daughters. It's been a great business for me. You know, I at this point, I'm almost 66 years old. I travel the world with my wife for visiting folks who remember the WWF days. Last year, we were down in Fiji and New Zealand. I said, nobody knows Tom Brady in Christchurch, New Zealand, but they'll go, home.
Yeah, everybody knows Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
It's amazing the appeal of wrestling around the world. I mean, I do a lot of charity with the NFL guys, and I'm like, world champions.
Yeah.
Where in the world do you belly? we went to London. It's like going to the West Coast. Come on, we went to London.
So at the peak of your career, when you became Hacksaw Jim Duggan, carrying around the flag and, of course, 2x4, when was it established that you were going to be the man that was going to be put over in the first ever Royal Rumble?
Yeah, that's surprised me, brother. You look at the guys who are in that Royal Rumble, man.
Yeah.
And that I think that decision was made that night. I don't think, you know, I don't know if Vince had a bad drink or like, okay, yeah, who's that? Duggan, you'll win the thing.
Put that guy over.
But, you know, that's the largest feather in my cap, obviously, because, you know, I joke. I said, you know, I was never world champion, never intercontinental champion.
Now, though you didn't have these championships, you can't say that you weren't an inspiration to many people.
Oh, yeah, well, that's my deal, that's the deal. Because, I don't care if I win the match, long as I win the fight, tough guy.
That's what made me love your character.
Yeah. So I could go out, I could work with Flair, you know, get beat 1, 2, 3 in the middle. He'd get up, I get the 2x4, boom, I'd hit Flair, boom, I hit the referee, boom, I'd chase the timekeeper around, end up in the middle of the ring, who cares if you win or lose?
Yeah, you seem to be, you had, at that time, and I think a lot of people had respect for you because, I mean, fans did, number one, because, of course, the gimmick was amazing. But, of course, you were a tool player. I mean, you'd work with anybody. You were definitely, you know.
People said, well, Hacksaw, what was your favorite move? I said, I kick and punch. I'm a brawler. I'm not a wrestler.
That's right. You know, so you had no issues with that, putting people over, you getting people, you know, things like that. Yeah, so you know how to run the business or in the business, and you were very accepting of that. And that's a lot of what people liked about you, for sure.
Yeah. Well, I think you got to put your ego. Brett's one of my best friends, but I always disagree with Brett, you know, the whole Montreal screw job or whatever, you know. And Brett's like, well, I don't want to get beat in Canada.
Right.
I'm like, well, Brett, I don't want to get beat in America.
Doubt that's ever going to happen.
Yeah, it's part of the job.
It's part of the job.
But I love Brett. Well, I just saw him. We were up in Calgary not
nice.
Long ago.
Nice, know? Nice. Well, gentlemen, I brought two of my my fellow wrestling fanatics here. Kai, did you have a question or two for Mr. Duggan? Swan? Yeah. Go ahead, Swan.
I think he's napping after that Spider-Man yeah. premiere.
Yeah, my brain's not there.
Swan, you got a
don't
question?
Don't blame it on the Spider-Man movie, though.
Well, G, you actually covered most of my questions, but I did want to address the whole Andre the Giant matches you had. Like, to me, that any match you've had after that, I was like, this guy took on Andre the Giant. He's not scared of anybody.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was young and dumb.
Of course, right? That's why I like...
But what happened, though, also, because I had met Andre as a young kid mm-hmm. over here as the convict.
Of course.
And now it's the WWF, right? And Andre's Andre the Giant, and, you know, my deal, it's over the... If there's a giant in our business, so from Andre to Yokozuna, Big John Studd, Umaga, they're, you know, Duggan, get your 2x4.
Come here.
I got to wrestle every giant there is, you know. So we're doing, I think it was Saturday night main event, and Andre's standing in the middle of the ring. He goes, I challenge anyone. Duggan, get your 2x4. So I run down there and I got my chin on Andre's belly. I'm looking up at him. I'm like, I'm not afraid of you. he looked pretty, he was into it. I mean, when Andre, you know, he had a different look. And man, he went to grab me by the throat and just that huge paw.
Oh, yeah, I bet it just covered
my thumb.
You.
No, it's just to grab me like that. Boom, his thumb hit my lip. My lip just falls down.
Oh, my gosh.
It's on main event, so this still goes on camera nowadays. So now blood is just pouring down my chest, pull up a chair, but blood is pouring down my chest, and Andre's choking me, and he's choking me. I'm going down on my knees. I feel around. Boom, I get the 2x4. Wham!
Yeah. Yeah.
Andre goes down like a huge redwood tree.
Right.
WWF goes off the air with me standing over Andre the Giant covered in blood.
My God.
Ho, ho! That lip flipping around a little bit. But, and of course, that elevated me from a mid-card guy
right.
to
right
a main
there,
event guy.
Right, yeah. Absolutely.
And Andre wouldn't do that if he didn't want to. You know, I was, you know, Hogan slammed him, but I was the only guy ever to knock
it's
Andre
funny,
out.
Whenever I hear interviews about Andre the Giant, that was one of the most amazing things I ever hear. Everybody says, if Andre didn't put you over, you ain't getting over.
No.
That's how it worked with Andre.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was, you know, it was, especially at the end, he was unsteady on his feet.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And if he's got you down on your knees in front of him, and he's 500 pounds, and he's kind of weaving and wobbling. Oh, Jesus. If he falls down, that's it. But no, Andre was Andre. Tough life, a lonely life for a guy. You know,
for sure.
He's that big, you know, just anywhere he went. Even Hogan can disguise himself, you know, and Andre,
right.
No matter where Andre ever went.
Yeah, for sure. Now, is it true? I got two things. Number one, is it true that Bruiser Brody came up with the Hacksaw moniker?
Well, no, he didn't actually come. We were actually me, Brody, and Robley, Buck Robley, who was actually
right.
probably more Robley. But the three of us are sitting around at a coffee table in San Antonio. The wild man deal wasn't working. With the fur and the and they're like, that's what do you
that
think?
Sound like
and
a bad gimmick. Yeah.
But it got reused again because we came the wild man Mark Merrill. Remember that?
Yeah,
well, they're just like digging around in the costume chest. They're like, wild man.
Let's see Jim's old gimmick.
Yeah. Well, it's hard to come up with something new. I mean, yeah, nowadays, those kids. I mean, that's why one of the things our folks are critical of the project. Product. Imagine folks having to come up with something new
every
week.
Yeah, every week.
And what, 3 hours of broadcast?
Well, I definitely want to get into your comments about the product today. But I do want to reference a very important feud that you had with the great Ted DiBiase.
Yeah.
That culminated into probably one of the craziest stipulation matches ever. How the heck did that come about? And give us a little information.
Mid-South was the gimmick territory of gimmick territories. And I came into Mid-South, and they hooked me up with Teddy, and we were the Rat Pack. It was me, Teddy, and Matt Bourne. And I tell you, one of the first gimmicks you have to look for on the network is it's Junkyard Dog and somebody. Anyway, the deal was Dog DiBiase, Loser Leave Town. And of course, Dog would never lose. It's Junkyard Dog. There's no way. And Leave Town. Mid-South. So anyway, what we did, I got dressed in a complete gorilla outfit. With a whole bunch of balloons. And I stood in front of the TV studio. And the fans, they just brought me in. They didn't have a clue who I was. They're like, gorilla, you want to come to the wrestling match?
That's awesome.
And I'm like, ooh. So the whole show, I'm passing out balloons, cheering the good guy, you know. And finally, it's Dog and DiBiase. And they're battling back and forth. Dog takes the bump out of the ring. He stands up, I brush him off. He turns around, boom, I hit him in the head. I run his head into the post. I pull that gorilla mask off. That people were like, oh, it's Dugan. It's cockeyed Dugan. they hated me. God.
That is awesome.
So, but then Ted ended up going with Skandar Akbar.
Right.
Going against America. So that's when me and Ted started working against each other. And I started carrying the flag, and
right.
I said, Ted DiBiase may be one of the greatest technical wrestlers in the sport.
Yeah. He's a third generation.
He can't
wrestler.
Fight a lick. I'll tell you. And if you're in there with Axel, it's a fight, brother. But no, I wrestled Ted thousands of times around the world. Yeah. He's I learned a lot from Ted. He's one of the best. Yeah.
Yeah. He's, like I said, he's a third generation wrestler, isn't he?
Yeah. Well, that's my other joke. Cause, you know, WWF was my heyday where I worked with Dusty,
right.
DiBiase, and Orton.
Right.
Yeah. But I came back as a talent to WWE. They hooked me up with Super Crazy and Eugene, and I worked with DiBiase's kid, Dusty's kid, and Orton's kid. First I beat up the old man, then I beat up the kid.
Yeah, I recommend, it is on the WWE Network, I believe that Ted DiBiase feud with Hacksaw is on there on Mid-South, and you guys got to check it out. It's really fun. Super fun.
And if you're talking the network, Legend House. You see Legend
House? Oh, I love Legend House. It's amazing.
He was telling me about that on the car ride from the airport about with Roddy Piper and all that and just blaming
stuff
on him.
Because Piper, was a small group of guys. I always knew Pipe, but we never really hung around together. So I was flying out. They put 8 of us in a mansion out in Palm Springs for 5 weeks. You know, boy. Yeah, I think I can squeeze that one in. Yeah, sure, man. So they fly you out there and like, Duggan, you got to have a roommate. And I'm like, well, you know, I haven't had a roommate since college. What the hell are you talking about? And like, in your room in with Piper. Like, oh, my God. So the first 3 days is like, yeah, how you doing, brother? We're just eyeballing each other, but then we hit it off. And,
we became
best friends.
In Legends House, it seemed like it was real genuine that you guys were kind of growing together as friends and things like that.
Yeah, I've had many folks come up and go, I didn't really like you as a wrestler, but I loved you on Legend House.
It seemed really genuine, and Piper
it's
and
funny,
everybody
it was. Yeah, going back, you can watch the relationship grow over those 5 weeks, and we became best friends.
Absolutely.
I quit drinking when Pipe died almost 4 years ago.
Wow, amazing.
Our families are still close, yeah. And the best thing about rooming with Piper is you can get away with anything. You blame it on Piper.
Because no one believed that Hacksaw would do this.
Piper's here, so it's probably him.
Yeah, that first week we're there at Legend House, you know, it, 10 years earlier would have been great. We're all young guys. Now everybody's like 10:30. Good night. Good night, everybody. So I'm like, I got to spice things up. So I waited. Everybody went to bed. And I'm going to put all the pool furniture in the pool. So, you know, it'd be a big whodunit. So everybody goes to bed. So I sneak out and I put, you just can't throw it in. You got to hide it in piece by piece.
Right, right.
You know? And I sleep naked, you know, so I'm out there running around naked. That's actually a big part of the story.
Okay, good. Which part?
Here comes WWE security, man, right? So now I'm hiding behind a palm tree. I'm pretty sure he saw me. He put it over, though. So anyway, I get all the pool furniture and I go to bed. Next morning I get up, I go in the kitchen. Pat Patterson and Gene Okerlund are in there. And Pat's really pissed. He goes, I just talked to Vince. He's going to pull the plug on the whole project.
Oh, no.
Somebody really screwed up last night. I'm like, well, Piper, he wasn't in his bed last night. Piper comes there like, he's like, what? Yeah, we had a great time on that. Yeah, it
was... Well, I tell you what, you, of course, had quite an impact on our lives here. You're a legendary, not just a wrestler, but of course, we look at you as a piece of Americana. And of course, that is
pop culture icon,
Americana. I mean, that's something that, regardless of titles or stature or whatever, that's a big deal. Because when you say Hacksaw Jim Duggan, everybody does the hoe. And that's got to be big. I mean, that's a huge deal for you.
Yeah, it's like I said earlier, it's humbling to be remembered. I mean, you're talking, what, 30 years since the heyday. And, you know, you're in the airport and people go, ho.
Yeah, everybody
said,
does.
No, she's a nice girl.
Now, Jim, I wanted to take a little more time. We got about 10-15 minutes here. I want to talk to you about... You still keep up with the wrestling business. This was your business. What do you think of the product now? What do you think of how WWE and these other small little companies are coming up? What do you think of how wrestling is going?
Well, I joke. I said I don't really watch it a whole lot anymore. I'd be like a butcher, watch him cut meat on his day off. After 40 years, last thing I want to watch. But the little bit of like I said, it's hard to argue with success.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
WrestleMania, 80,000 people, folks from 40 different countries, the worldwide powerhouse. Mm-hmm. But folks are hungry for an alternative. And for every Hertz, there's an Avis. Mm-hmm. And Impact's not definitely carrying the load. So hopefully this AEW, plus it's better for talent. Like, have a place to negotiate to go, you know, back and forth.
Competition is always good.
And I think it'll up the product. The WWE, I'm a bigger fan of the NXT.
Love NXT. It's one
of
my
folks
favorite.
Like the NXT because you have wrestlers writing the storyline instead of Hollywood people. You know, my last time up there with WWE, I have this young kid come up and goes, "Mr. Duggan, here's your verbiage for your interview."
What?
Because in my verbiage, how some punk kid goes to Hacksaw Jim Duggan how to cut his interview. And they're like, "Well, this is what we want you to say." And I'm like, "Well, send me my check." But I got a whole new respect for actors. That's, I mean, it's hard to read something. You say something, I say something, you say something. And, you know, I'd be like, "Okay, I will see you in the ring." I just became robotic as could be, where if you just go out there and say, "Hey, cover these bullet points." So it's, and the kids are probably definitely more professional.
Sure.
More athletic, you know. Superfly was the only guy flying around like that. Now the kids are more trend to fly than in the old days, but I think the pendulum will swing back the other way, and it'll be the brawlers again.
I was going to say, because it seems like the kids now are nowhere near as how can I say this? You guys, you and Hulk and Andre, you guys were just monoliths of stature, and you guys were you guys were literally out of a comic book. It seems like these kids now are a little smaller. A little more live. They are very active in the ring, and they're doing a lot of those high spots. They're doing a lot of these really, really crazy things, and doing some amazing aerial things. They're putting together lucha-esque type of characters, as well as these guys light on their feet and things like that.
I think they're starting a trapeze match.
Yes, right. I mean, these guys are these guys are really doing some stuff that you guys
ladders, tables, and trapeze. in a street fight match back in the day, guys would wear street fight clothes. It'd be a different tape fist match. You can tell the guys on contract, they are taped from the elbows to the tip of their finger. Company's paying for their tape. If it's an indie guy, they got one little piece. And I tell you, guys, I don't know if they have indie circuit over here, but in the States, the smaller little companies.
Yes.
I love the indie shows.
I do, too.
Those are the kids are out there. You get to sit closer to the ring.
Yep.
You get to meet the wrestlers. And they're the guys that love the business and trying to, because I said you got a better chance of playing in the NFL than you make it in the WWE.
Right.
But these kids on the outside chasing their dream.
Yeah.
Because I said, who would have ever thought Daniel Bryan would have made it?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I looked at him like, you're not a chance. Yeah. Yeah. Now he's a huge superstar.
He was, you know, he had some legendary matches in, like, as a guy, his stature in Ring of Honor. He came up with, like, guys like CM Punk, Nigel McGuinness. And these guys weren't somebody you'd go, hey, listen, that's going to be the next star. Never in a million years.
Yeah. Of course.
Yeah. So it's quite, it's interesting how the business kind of evolves that respect.
It'd be different 10 years from now. It changes all the time, you know what I mean?
For sure.
I'm not sure if a hoe and a 2x4 would work now.
That's baloney, because you know every time you come out and you do your surprise spots, everybody loves them.
Well, yeah. They're like, oh my God, Hacksaw!
Hacksaw Jim Duggan's here.
I will not lie. When you showed up in the Royal Rumble in 2012, I was like, he's gonna win it again.
I know that was great. That was great. That was great.
They're like, Hacksaw, we want you to run down in the ring. I'm like, you want me to do what?
You have to do a double take. Like, what's running? Yeah. What am I doing?
But even I tell the kids, sometimes I still get in the ring. You know, these people say, you still wrestle? I said, well, I get in the ring once. But I tell kids, at 65, I have no physical attributes left, but I can still entertain a crowd,
that's
brother.
Right, that's right, damn it.
It's more than just taking bumps. It's that's a ring presence. Yeah. It's telling a story. It's professional wrestling.
I don't know. Whenever I tell you what, I've always admired wrestlers. I've always admired the dance, as it were, and I've always loved it. But some of those bumps you guys take, it's brutal.
It's a physical business.
It looks brutal. And I'm like, I never wanted to be a wrestler. If I ever had part of the business, I always wanted to be a ref. And I was like, that's all I ever wanted to do. I never wanted, that was not my thing. I was like, man, some of the punishment you guys take day in, day out is just phenomenal.
I saw you throw a punch. You missed a guy by that much. I said, yeah, but you see, when I hit him by that much, it works both ways, brother. You know, indeed, it goes both ways.
Absolutely.
And that's the old joke. You're always a phony wrestler.
Right.
Until you go to court. Or try to buy health insurance.
Right, for sure.
Yeah, you go to court, you're a killer.
Well, you know what, Jim? I want to have, whenever you come back, I got to have you on this show again to do a little part two. But I want to let everybody know that you, sir, will be here on Maui July 4th. You're doing an event right here at the Maui Comics and Collectibles. It's a free event. What exactly are you going to be doing, my friend?
Oh, just pretty much talking with the fans, signing autographs, taking pictures, you know. Just worked out great. Maui Comics is hosting us over here. We're having a great time. And it's a chance, like I said, to tell the folks, hey, thanks. You know, and even people that aren't wrestling fans are kind of intrigued by her
business. Well, I'm just going to speak as a lone non-wrestling fan.
Jump
at the
in,
table,
brother.
I'm just a pop culture fan. And, you know, if somebody from this era of wrestling contacts me, I know who they are, because in the 80s it was larger than life. It was like you didn't know basketball, you knew Michael Jordan. You didn't know wrestling or the history, but you knew the 80s wrestlers. You knew Hacksaw, you knew Hulk Hogan, you knew Andre, you knew all of them, you know? So it was like, and so when you contacted us for a 4th of July, it was like the light from heaven was shining down. Because it's like nothing's more American than WWE wrestling.
On July 4th, even. I don't know how you did this.
It all had to do with me. It worked out. Yeah, well, I had so much to do with it.
I will bring up something. When Alika called me, he's like, hey, you're not going to believe who's going to come to the store. I was like, oh, who? He's like, Hacksaw Jim Duggan. All I did was pull the phone over. And he's like, okay, you know who I'm talking about. I was like, yes, I do.
So, Alika, give us a little detail. When is it happening? July 4th?
4th of July, this Thursday? Mm-hmm. We're just going to have this. We're going to be closing early at 5, but from 12 to 3, we're going to have Hacksaw here. Everybody can come down and meet him. He's going to have autographs available, photo ops available. We're going to have 2x4s to be signed. I've also got some nice posters, too. Yep. And
come down, just say hello, shake hands. And,
yeah, man.
You know, because I do a lot of Comic Cons, which are all pop culture conventions, with Lee Majors and Henry Winkler and Daisy Duke in the group.
Like, maybe in the 80s it was more integrated or something, but have you made peace with you being more a pop culture icon than... I know all you guys are wrestlers, so of course wrestling is...
How dare you? I know where you're going. Okay, how dare you?
I mean, how do you feel about belonging to that pop culture zeitgeist? Like, the American... I feel like that's larger than wrestling, to be honest. Like, 80s wrestling is bigger than wrestling to me.
By the way, he's not a pop culture Hall of Famer. He's a WWE Hall of Famer. All right.
I know what you're saying, though, and it's true. It's just that transcends wrestling, that group of guys.
Yeah.
People just, the comic, the music, rock and wrestling. It was, of course yeah. back then you didn't have 200 channels to choose from either.
That's right.
You watch the news, a game show, or wrestling. What?
That's true. I mean, wrestling is one of the more entertaining things on TV back then. So.
That's very, very true.
Yeah, but and it's amazing. Like I said, worldwide, in my 40 years of wrestling, I wrestled every state in the union, every province in Canada, and 30 different countries. It's
I just want to ask, because I don't know if you went over it, is how long were you in here in Hawaii as the convict?
Probably about 6 months.
Six months.
And
yeah. it was you were looking
I dropped about 15 pounds.
I was just sweating it out.
Like I said, there wasn't a lot of money then, and a lot of guys would come in for a week or two because you know they're Hawaii. But me and Haku Ming, it lasted at the Chateau Bleu.
I mean, did that create an affinity for Hawaii? I mean, when you were coming down,
brother?
I guess, you know, people from Hawaii like to hear that you like Hawaii.
Oh, yeah, I'm from Glens Falls, New York.
I was going to say, it must
and
be
all
great.
All of a sudden, I'm at Ala Moana Beach going, wow.
I loved it how you guys were also here for your wedding, and 30 that years later, you're back here
came
again.
Back for our anniversary, and our daughters are over here, too, man. Yeah,
that's awesome.
So the whole family.
I mean, you're doing jobber status in Hawaii in the 80s, and I mean that's the one thing you can look forward to is after you're done you can go to the beach.
It was great, and like I said, a lot of guys would just come and go, but I was a young guy. I loved it over here.
Yeah, take advantage, man.
That's the thing about wrestling, especially now of my second run, you know, because when you're younger, people try to compare us to a sports team.
Yeah,
my generation of guys, we were more like a rock and roll band
than
a sports team.
I will 100%.
Different city, different country. I mean, everything's a party. And, you know, it's easy why so many guys got caught up in that lifestyle.
Yeah.
You know, you're in front of thousands of people. Boom, boom. Hey, you know, they're sitting in your hotel room.
Right.
Yeah, maybe I'll go down to the bar. Woo! Yeah, have this. You her.
Hey, man. Take a hit off of that.
It was easy to get caught up in it.
For sure.
And I did too. I just thought, I guess, didn't have that addictive personality where I ever got hooked on it.
Good for you.
There was a We're glad a lot of drugs,
around. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Well, listen, come visit Hacksaw Jim Duggan July 4th right here at Maui Comics and Collectibles. By all means, check out his library of amazing work on the WWE Network. Of course, you can always watch the first Royal Rumble where he is the winner. It's an amazing, amazing match. So check it out. And like I said, my favorite, of course, is his Ted DiBiase feud. Go check that out as well. It's on the WWE Network. You can't miss it. Mr. Jim Duggan, it's been about 45 minutes now. I just want to say thank you so much. It's been an absolute honor and a pleasure to have you on here. Thank you for your time so much. Massive respect for coming to Maui. Massive respect for you as an entertainer and a wrestler. Without you, I think my childhood would not have been as good as it was.
Well, thank you very much, brother. I thought working for Vince was tough, so I worked for you. No, but thanks. Great to be back here in Maui. I hope you folks get a chance to come out on the 4th of July. But folks, before we go.
What? What's up?
Let's do a ho together,
all
guys.
Right, here we go.
Let's go, baby. Ho! That's some good hoeing.
So for Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Alika Swan, and myself, G Money and Kai, we'll see you next time right here on the Nerd Watch. Aloha.